Going the distance is what I entitled the message today. From start, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ and we're born again, to the finish, when we breathe our last breath and cross over the pearly gates to receive our crown and our reward and our eternal joy, we have to go the distance. And it's not just time-wise, but effort-wise in all that we do regarding love and forgiveness and obedience. God wants us to go the distance with Him. And it is easier said than done. I have to say, it is easier said. All that God asks us to do, all that God commands us to do, we say, "Yay, Lord, I'll do it." But we find out, as the Apostle Peter did, it's easier said than done. I take you to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. Jesus is telling his disciples, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee," if you're not familiar with King James, that's "you," okay? "All men will be offended because of you, I will never be offended." How often we've said that as Christians. "Lord, I'll never be offended at you. I'll never deny you. I'll never backslide. I'll never fall away. I'll never sin." "Though all men would be offended because of you, yet I will never be offended." Jesus knew quite well it's easier said than done. "Verily or truthfully, I say unto you, that this night, this very night, before the rooster crow, you shall deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Though I should die with you," he also said, "I'll go to prison with you," another scripture, "yet I will not deny you." Likewise said all the disciples. Peter found out when that rooster crowed that it's easier said than done. The great preacher Jonathan Edwards, a Puritan from the 18th century, said, "Thus many in their affectionate pangs," and oh, Peter had an affection for Jesus Christ, a great love for Christ. "Thus many in their affectionate pangs have thought themselves willing to be damned eternally for the glory of God." "Lord, I'll go to hell for you." Passing affections easily produce words. And words are cheap. You've heard the expression, talk is cheap, right? "Words are cheap," said Edwards. "And godliness is more easily feigned or faked in words than in actions. Christians practice is a costly, laborious thing. The self-denial that is required of Christians, the narrowness of the way that leads to life, does not consist in words, but in practice. Hypocrites may much more easily be brought to talk like saints than to act like saints." Yes, talk is cheap. Well, isn't the Bible filled with words and talk? Yes, but it's backed up by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He didn't just talk. He wouldn't have to come down to earth to talk. He talked to Moses in the burning bush. He talked to Gideon through an angel. He met Abraham through angels. He didn't have to come down to earth and become a man to talk. But he backed up his talk by his bloodshed. A teacher of the law came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And don't we say that as Christian? "Lord, wherever you want me to go, but not Africa. Not Pakistan. Wherever you want me to go, Lord, except all these other places." Okay. My dad used to tell something humorous when he pastored here. He said, He'd always pray as a young man, as a teenager, Lord, come soon, but not today. Let me get married first. That was his prayer. Come soon, but wait till I get married. I will follow you wherever you go, said this teacher. Jesus wanted him to know, sir, it's much easier said than done. Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but I, the Son of Man, have no place to lay his head. Really, you want to follow me? It's easier said than done. King David said in Psalm 119, Thou, God, art my portion. O Lord, I have said that I will keep your word. David said a lot. And David did a lot. But David also found out it's easier said than done. Because though David said, I have said I would keep your words, yet he broke the seventh commandment and committed adultery and also murder. Here's a reason why many of us promise God everything and then give him so little. David said, in my prosperity, or when I felt secure, I said, I shall never be moved. In our prosperity, in our health, we say, Lord, I'll follow you even to the sickbed until it's time to get sick. Then we don't want to follow him there. In my prosperity, when I felt secure, that's when I said, I'll never be moved away. I'll never sin. I'll never disobey. You see, Peter, who promised, who swore to never deny the Lord and to go to prison and death for him, Peter said those words when he felt secure. When the ministry of Jesus was popular. But the time came for the shepherd to be smitten and the sheep to be scattered, and then Peter found out it was easier said than done. Not when things are going well. When things are going well, we promise God everything. David felt secure after many victories over the Philistines. And when he faced temptation on that rooftop, when he saw Bathsheba bathing, he found out it was easier said than done. Yes, talk is cheap, and actions speak louder than words. Last week, I spoke to you about sympathy, empathy, and compassion. We use a lot of words to express sympathy. We use a lot of words to express empathy. But you can't express compassion with just words. It has to be expressed also in action. Compassion is sympathy and empathy in action. Referring to others, our relationship to others, and to God. Jesus gave this little parable in Matthew chapter 21. What do you think? All right, so Christianity is the thinking man's religion, they say. You have to think about it. You have to take thoughts. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. It's a reasoning religion. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, Son, go and work today in my vineyard, or the vineyard. He said, I will not. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. Go and work today in my vineyard. He said, I will. I will, sir. But he did not go. Jesus then asked, which of the two did the will of his father? Now that second son, who said, I will. Of course, he could have been lying to his father. But I kind of think he found out, as we have found out, when asked by our Heavenly Father to do something, to go work in his vineyard, to build up his kingdom, to sow the seed, to work for a harvest of souls, I think he found it easier said than done. Easy to say, oh yes, Lord, I will go. I will do your will, God, easier said than done. I think he had good intention. Of course, we know the road to hell is paved with many a good intention, don't we? He said, I will go, Father. And as he went and grabbed the shovel or the hoe, whatever it was he had to take with him to go in the vineyard and prune the vines, the pruning shears, he found it not so easy. He could have said, it's hot today. Oh, it's very hot today. It's over 100 degrees today. That translates into, well, the conditions are really not right. Oh, when I have a convenient season, said Felix to the Apostle Paul, I will call upon you. When the conditions are right, it's hot today. Or he could have gone out with that shovel and that rake and the shears. I said, you know, I heard the fish are really biting today. That translates into, there's something I'd rather be doing than working in my Father's vineyard. Or he went out saying, yeah, Dad, I'm going to work in your vineyard. I'll do it, Dad. And he found out he'd be there all alone. And that translates into, oh, it's not fair. It's not fair that I'm out here all alone. He goes out to do his Father's will, finds it not so easy. Oh, look, here come my friends. Gee, my Father wants me to go out and work today and sweat and toil in the hot sun. The conditions aren't right. There's something I'd rather be doing. It's not fair. I'm out there alone. And here come my friends. That translates into what my Father wants is not as important what my friends and I want. And a father had two sons. The one son said, I will not go. But he repented and he went. The other found it easier said than done. Jesus said in Matthew 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. That's why Jesus gave that parable. Or wasn't the second son a son? Yes, a disobedient son. Well, he's still a son. I give the example of my son Michael is not here. He's my son. But let us say my son became a serial killer. Let us say my son was sought after by the police from every state. Even Interpol, the international police, are looking for him, for he's traveled all over the world killing people. Well, he's my son. Well, what do you want, your son to go free? No. I would pray that he would be caught if he wouldn't repent. I would pray that my son would be incarcerated rather than go out killing people. Just because that second boy was a son didn't mean that he'd be saved. He's a disobedient child. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. It's easier to say, Lord, Lord, rather than to make sure he's your Lord. Of your thoughts, of your actions, of your tongue. That's why James says, if a man cannot bridle his tongue, his religion is in vain. Because Jesus is not Lord over his tongue. It's easy to say, Jesus, you're my Lord, rather than have him really be the Lord of your life. It is easier said than done. All that God has given us is easier said than done. To obey him. God wants obedience, easier said than done. He wants us to be patient and wait for his will to be done. It's easier said than done to wait. To love and forgive our brothers, to turn the other cheek, easier said than done. To love your enemies, easier said than done. To be holy as God is holy? Wow, easier said than done. To be blameless, to pray without ceasing, to resist all temptation, to be anxious for nothing, to fear nothing but God? Easier said than done. Let me show you a few things that are easier said than done. If any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, and wife, and children, brothers, sisters, yea, his own life, he cannot be my disciple. That word hate means to love more or less. You must love everything less than the Lord Jesus. You cannot be my disciple, he said. And whosoever does not bear his cross, that's willing to suffer, and come after me, cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost? Here he's telling people, listen, like that lawyer who came to him and said, I'll follow you wherever you lead me. And Jesus said, well, I don't have anywhere to put my head at night. You must count the cost. What you say is easy. What you have to do is not. You must sit down first and count the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish this tower. Lest happily after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Why was this man able to build, start to build, and not finish? Because his words came easy. I'm going to build a tower. I'm going to buy some building blocks. I'm going to take out a loan. He only took out a loan for enough for the foundation. He found that his words, his talk, came easy. But the building of the tower did not. Great preacher D.L. Moody said, more depends on my walk than on my talk. For the kingdom of God is not in word but in power. And yet we have his word, but his word, as I said before, is power because Jesus backed it up with a sacrifice. What do we back up our words with? It should be with godly living. Here's something easier said than done. My brethren, writes James, count it all joy when you fall into many trials and temptations. In other words, rejoice when you're persecuted. Leap for joy, said Jesus, when men persecute you. Lord, I won't say it's impossible, Lord, because that would be to deny you completely. But it's easier said than done, Lord. That I will rejoice in all my trials, that I'll leap for joy when I'm persecuted. Easier said than done. I'm going to say something a little shocking to the Christian ear. The Christian ear and heart needs to be shocked time and time again. You know that even Jesus himself found it easier said than done? Now, I'm not speaking blasphemy here. Remember, Jesus felt sympathy for us. He felt tears. He shed tears for us. He had empathy. I will identify with you. I will walk not in your moccasins or your shoes. I'm going to walk in your skin. I'm going to have the same blood pumping through my veins. I'm going to have the same brain matter. I'm going to experience the same problems that you will face. That's empathy. But that empathy and sympathy led to compassion. I will rescue you. I will come down and die for you. Jesus came to do the will of his Father. I said to you before, even Jesus found it easier said than done. It's not a sin. We know that Jesus did not sin. And it's not a sin for us to say, Lord, all that you command us is easier said than done. Jesus came to do the will of his Father, which was to go to the cross. As Jesus stated himself in John chapter 10, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I voluntarily lay down my life, he's saying. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. Notice, this commandment have I received of my Father. To lay down my life and to take it again. That's why Jesus came. Didn't come to give us a good, happy life. Jesus said, think not that I am come to bring peace on the earth. I come with a sword. To set father at variance with son and daughter, with mother, because of the truth. Jesus said, I have come to do the will of my Father. I've come to do my Father's business. As a child of 12, he said that. I've come to go to the cross. I must be crucified, but on the third day I'll rise again. But he found it easier said than done. And the proof of it's right here in Matthew chapter 26. Jesus said to his disciples, Peter, James, and John, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry you here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup, this crucifixion, this cup that contains all the human dregs, all the sins and the perversions, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thine be done. Jesus was 100% man, also 100% God, but he was 100% man, and he felt as we feel. And he said, I have come to do the will of my Father. And when the time came for him to bear our iniquities, our filth, our sin, he said, Father, can this cup pass from me? He was sorrowful, even unto death. That's why he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood in the garden as he prayed. He found it now to be difficult to bear our sins. And the key for him going on is the key for us. So we don't always have to spend our whole Christian life saying, what I promise God I can't perform. It's easier said than done. God does not want us to continue. And the way that Jesus escaped that human frailty which he was clothed with, he was just as frail as we are. You know, Jesus never really commanded his supernatural power to assist himself, except the time he walked on the water, but that was not for himself, but for his disciples, when he passed through the wall after his resurrection. He did not call down angels, as he said he could have called down legions of angels to save him from crucifixion. He didn't. He did not turn that miraculous power on himself, but on others. There are three things. You must jot this down if you have a pen. There are three things we have to do to find the power to do what we say, instead of saying, oh, easier said than done. Three things. Jesus did the one. He submitted to the will of the Father. Number one, submit to the will of God. Yield to wherever God would lead you. Whatever he would command you, yield to it. That's where Jesus found power. He already had power. Remember, he said, I have power to take up my life, but I have power to lay down my life. And that power came upon him when he said, not my will, but thine be done. But this is how we live. You will find power. But that's number one. Secondly, we have to pray for more faith. Pray for more faith. Listen to what David said in Psalms 3:6. Again, David was one, as we all experience, find out it's easier said than done. I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. You know, cannons to the right of me, cannons to the left of me, volleys and thunder. I will not fear. Though tens of thousands all around me, I will not fear. David, easier said than done. But you see, David knew it was faith that would take away that fear. Be merciful to me, O God, for men boldly, you say boldly, yes, men hotly pursue me. All day long they press their attack. My slanderers pursue me all day long. Many are attacking me in their pride. When I am afraid, notice he doesn't say, I'm not afraid. He says, when I am afraid. Why? Because of those who hotly pursue him. Those that are attacking him daily. He says, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. It's faith. First, we must submit to the will of God. And then we must increase our faith. You know, it's easy to say to someone, I forgive you, than to actually forgive them. It's easier to say to someone, God bless you, than to make sure God does bless them. It's easier to say to someone, I love you, than to really love them. It's easier to say, I don't hold a grudge against you, than to not hold a grudge against them. Much easier said than done. Take heed to yourselves, said Jesus. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. If he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And those were the apostles said. They said, Lord, increase our faith. To keep forgiving? To keep forgiving? To hold no grudge? Increase our faith. You must submit to the will of God. And you must pray and study the word, because hearing comes, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You must pray, Lord, pray incessantly, because we're told to pray without ceasing. Increase my faith. From the Bible Exposition Commentary, mature Christians understand that forgiveness is not a cheap exchange of words. The way squabbling children often flippantly say, I'm sorry. It's easy to say, I'm sorry, than to be sorry and to prove you're sorry. True forgiveness always involves pain. Somebody has been hurt, and there's a price to pay in healing the wound. Love motivates us to forgive, but faith activates the forgiveness, so that God can use it to work blessings in the lives of his people. Much easier said than done. But faith activates the power of God. And that's number 3. Use your faith after submitting to the will of God. Use that faith that you're praying for to grow, to acquire more of God's Spirit in your life. More of his power. See, the power of God's word, the power of the blood of Christ, the power of the name of Jesus only comes into us through the indwelling Holy Spirit. That's the only way. You can use the name Jesus all you want, but that power cannot be manifested in your life really until the Holy Spirit comes in. So many read the word of God, but they have no power. Name the name of Jesus, they have no power. What did Paul say? My preaching and my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, on man's words, but on God's power. Our faith has to rest in the power of God. Submit to the will of God as Jesus did. Pray as the disciples did, Lord, increase our faith. And use that faith to get more power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, said, Come, my soul. If Christ has raised thee from the dead, do not live after the fashion of the dark grave which thou hast quitted or left. Live a godlike life. Let the divine in thee sit on the throne and tread the animal beneath its feet. That's the old nature. It is easier said than done, cries one. Well, to live a godlike life, easier said than done. For many, that's too true. That depends upon the life within, says Spurgeon. Life is full of power. I have seen an iron bar bent by the growth of a tree. Give your life full scope, and what a walk you may have. Conclusion, I have seen boys bathing in a river in the morning. One of them has just dipped his toes in the water, and he cries out as he shivers, Oh, it is too cold. Another has gone up to his ankles, and he also declares that it's fearfully chilly. But see, another runs to the bank and takes a header right in. He rises all in a glow. You Christian people are paddling about in the shallows of religion and just dipping your toes into it. Oh, that you would plunge into the river of life. How it would brace you. Jesus was not content in the garden as he sweat great drops of blood, as his heart was full of sorrow, as he approached the whipping stake and the cross. He was not content just to say, I've come to do your will, O God, and not go through with it. He would have considered himself nothing but a failure. And so must we. If all we do is say it's easier said than done, we're nothing but failures. Why? Because the Apostle Peter says, He, God, gives divine power. And everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Jesus said, I must go to the cross. And that's going to be a very difficult thing. And for us to take up the cross and follow Christ is not an easy thing. To be persecuted and leap for joy is not an easy thing. To turn the cheek when someone smites you on the one cheek is not an easy thing. Unless we're filled with that Holy Ghost power. And then we will find it. It will not be our second nature, it will be our first nature. And that's the problem with a lot of Christians. They want the mind of Christ to be their second nature. No, you want it to be your first nature. You want that forgiveness to flow. You want those prayers to flow. You want obedience to flow. And it can. Why? Because God gives us His divine power. Do these three things. Submit to the will of God. Admit a lack of faith and pray and search the scriptures for more and use that faith to acquire more power. Sing a song after we take communion. We'll look to Jesus Christ now. Who's going to help us with communion? Anthony? Probably just need one, or Edwin, maybe two. We invite you to partake of this, the Last Supper. If you want to follow Jesus, if you are willing to take up that cross and suffer for Him and to do His will, to throw yourself on His mercy and grace for salvation, then you're welcome to join us. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, a follower of Him, and you have known sin in your life that needs to be repented of, before you take this, you must repent. And you know what? To say, Lord, I repent, is easier said than to repent. Is to turn from our sin. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, passed it among His disciples. Lord Jesus, even You found it difficult to take up that cross. Not because of the external pain, but because of mankind's sins, flaws. But you were able to accomplish that because you submitted to the will of your Father. You had the faith to know, even though He would forsake you for a moment, that you'd be reunited with Him forever. And you were always filled without measure by the Spirit. Lord, we want the same for us. You offer the same for us. For we too have to carry our cross. We too have to deny ourselves all sinful temptation. Lord, may it not be easier said than done. Why? Because your yoke is easy, your burden is light. Lord, you can make it easy for us, for the life of Christ to flow from us. And that's why we look to you now, Jesus. We hate our spiritual failures. And Lord, I hate my spiritual failures. Victory in Jesus. He passed it among his disciples and said, "This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Take and eat in remembrance of him." And after the same manner, Jesus took the cup, passed it among his disciples. Jesus passed the cup among his disciples. This cup is the New Testament, a new covenant, a new agreement. Through my blood, this do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Drink in remembrance of him. We'll stand and close with him. What number is that now? Our closing hymn. Day by day, strength, power, we find to meet our trials. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he needs best. Lovingly is part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord himself is near me, with a special mercy pouring child. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me, he whose name is Counselor and mine. The protection of his love and treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. As your days, your strength shall be in measure, this the pledge to me he made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust your promises alone, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within the holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meet me, ere to take as from a father's hand, one by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach
the promise.
Yes, going the distance in loving, in obeying. Bible commands us to be content. Lord, I'm content, but it's easier said than done. So much is easier said than done unless we are really filled with God's Spirit. Unless we really yield to His will. Lord, you want me to obey? I yield to your will. You want me to be content? I yield to your will. You want me to love that person? I yield to that will. You want me to turn the other cheek? I yield to that will. But Lord, I don't know how to do it. Fill me with your power. For Jesus turned the other cheek many times. All the way to the cross. Let's pray. If you want to seek counseling after church and come and speak to me or prayer about anything, Father, we thank you that you did not just give this power to your Son Jesus, but to all those who become your sons and daughters by faith, that we might be like you, like Jesus. Oh, fill us with your Spirit, Lord. But you'll only fill us as we yield to your will. Only as we acknowledge, Lord, it's our lack of faith that causes us not to forgive, to hold a grudge, to not obey, to say things and do the opposites. Here am I, send me, Lord, said Isaiah. And he found out that it was easier said than done. Lord, we want to graduate. We want to advance in your kingdom. So that we find your yoke to be easy, your burden to be light. Your commandments are not grievous. Oh, let our hearts be filled with love. For you, for your word, for your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
In what way?
For touch for you, don't spare.